Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
If President Trump and congressional lawmakers can't reach a deal to fund the government by the end of Friday, federal agencies will have to furlough workers. Now think for a minute what that will mean for the IRS, which would have to send home the majority of its workforce, even though the agency is already seeing slow death by attrition with far fewer audits. And now before you say, well, that's okay, who wants to get audited, consider that's far less government revenue coming in for things you do like. And according to a new series of investigative reports from ProPublica and The Atlantic, the budget cuts at the IRS have meant more auditing of the working poor, while wealthier tax cheats may be going free. ProPublica's Paul Keel co-wrote the series with Jesse Eisinger. Paul, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So we've been hearing about this for a while, that the IRS is shrinking. We know that there are lawmakers who have said outright they want to do away with it entirely. But give us some sense of the numbers.
Well, I think the simplest thing is their enforcement staff is down by a third over the last 7 years. And what that means is they simply do less stuff. The commissioner for a good chunk of Obama's presidency was John Koskinen, and he had a thing that he was constantly being urged by Congress to do more with less. And he sort of sardonically was telling employees that, you know, we're just going to have to do less with less because, you know, he wanted them to know he didn't expect them to do the impossible. So there are things that I think people would think of as basic, you know, fair things for the IRS to do, like go after people who don't file their taxes at all. But that's actually a very labor-intensive thing for the IRS to do. So that's something that's really fallen off from something that they're devoting resources to, because they have other things that they think are, you know, more pressing in the moment.
Well, so, and some are more politically pressing. I want to get to them in a second. But you said a couple things. I want to make sure. So when you say revenue agents are down by a third, I think you said. And I think if we're reading this correctly, that's about 9,000 agents. And you write the last time it was that low was 1953. But the economy was so much smaller then, so we get a sense of what that means. And when you say an Obama official said something to IRS workers, who is responsible for this? You write it's been an 8-year campaign, but who's behind it?
The simple answer is Republicans in Congress who, you know, took the House in 2010 after Obamacare was passed. And the IRS had a very big role in implementing the law. And so going after the IRS was a way of going after Obamacare. And then in 2013, this really large scandal erupts. You know, it was over whether the IRS had been targeting Republican or conservative nonprofits for extra scrutiny. And that kind of became the rationale for slashing the budget.
Well, and be clear, had that part of the agency been targeting conservative nonprofits?
What was found is that the steps they had taken were not correct, but there was never any proof that they had specifically sought out Republicans as the way that they were. I mean, ironically, they were doing what they were doing because they were overloaded. They wanted simple ways to kind of find out which nonprofits were, you know, were political and pretending not to be political, and how do we target that? So they had, like, you know, search strings like, let's find all the Tea Party ones because maybe they're not really non-political, and that got them in trouble. But, you know, ironically, because they didn't have enough resources, they were taking shortcuts, and then that led to more cuts, and now they're taking, you know, they're in a worse situation than when they started with.
Well, and now, again, because of certain mechanisms that click into place, the agency is targeting the working poor. I just give this as an example, because you say the IRS, for instance, is looking less closely at corporations, maybe not even at all at people who don't pay taxes, because that's the harder forensic, you know, detective work. And stepping up scrutiny of people who make less than $20,000 a year. You have a provocative headline: who's more likely to be audited, a person making $20,000 a year or something like $500,000? And it's the person making $20,000, because a lot of these people are getting the earned income tax credit. This is, as you write, one of the largest anti-poverty programs. It's a credit given to people who are working but they're struggling, only a couple thousand dollars usually. How did this happen? Why are they getting targeted?
Well, it's an enormous program. So about $70 billion, I think, went out this year. And it's always sort of had the issue of what they call improper payments, a high level of improper payments. In other words, people claiming it who don't, who shouldn't be getting it. And so the IRS has made a priority, and really the reason that it's become such a priority is Republicans in Congress have been focused on it since the 1990s as a major issue. But I think kind of to step back, you know, IRS's analysis that there's people don't pay what they owe in tax like across the board. Actually, the biggest offenders are tend to be business owners or people who are self-employed because they tend to have types of income that are not as easy to track as others. Mm. And with the cuts, the IRS has basically been leaning more on automated types of audits. And these sorts of audits are really more or less like forms that are pumped out by computers. And so the forms go out, and then if someone raises their hand and say, actually, you know, I do deserve this credit, then a person has to look at that. And one thing we focused on is because the IRS doesn't have enough people, even if you really do deserve the credit under the law, it's taken a year at least sometimes to sort that out. Because the people are not just there on the IRS end to review the paperwork. And then, you know, when you go up the scale to look at, you know, audits of the wealthy, those audits cannot be generated without a, you know, a highly trained, skilled person to start that audit. And that's the employee that's no longer there. And so those audits are just not being done.
Well, I mean, just to underscore this, I mean, people who are extremely wealthy, you remind us that, you know, somebody making over $1 million is also in the category of likely to be audited. But as you say, that gets complicated and maybe it's not done. But it's sort of the 200, 500, 700,000 that's not being audited and the 20,000 that is. It's like the extremes on either end. And to be clear, you write, maybe some of these people are trying to claim something they don't deserve. But most of the time, it's an error. It's a mistake because the thing is so complicated. It's a 40-page thing.
Right. It's very complicated. I mean, that's what the research has shown, that a lot of people like, for instance, I think most people would expect that if a child is your dependent, that you could also claim them under this tax credit, which is for, you know, people who have children. But that's not always the case. What would make sense is, you know, tax preparers play a big role in this. You know, if you go to any low income section of a city, you know, next to the payday lender, there'll be a tax preparation place. But they're essentially unregulated, and the IRS has been prevented from you know, closely regulating them. There's actually bipartisan support in the Senate for helping the IRS to be able to focus on that part of the issue more, which I think everyone agrees would make sense, but that hasn't gotten a lot of support to move forward.
Well, and so you tell stories of people, you know, struggling, depending on that $2,000 they're expecting to pay their bills. Then they get into a cycle of debt because it didn't come and they have to wait a year because there's not enough auditors. So, Paul, what do we make of all of this? You talk about the low morale at the agency, people taking their retirement and leaving, which is reducing the staff even more. You'd think, as word gets out that the IRS is, you know, on life support, as you write, that people are going to be thinking, well, maybe I can just flub something here or there. Do you get a sense in your research that that's happening?
Unfortunately, there's not a great way to know, you know, is there been like a boom in cheating? So the IRS does these studies, but it takes them a really long time to do it. And the estimate they came up with the last time they did this, which was a couple of years ago, where they were studying, like, you know, back in 2008, 2010, was that people were paying more or less 4/5 or 82% of the tax that they really owed. And because these numbers are so enormous, the example we give is, you know, the IRS collected around $3 trillion in taxes last year. So if that is the amount of cheating that goes on, that meant that people didn't pay $660 billion in tax that they really owed.
Wow. Not just people, corporations.
People. But that's assuming that things haven't gotten worse, and everyone associated with the IRS knows that things have gotten worse. But even if things have gotten a tiny bit worse, because these numbers are so big, we're talking about, you know, $20 billion, $40 billion that we're losing in tax revenue every year. You know, this is a problem. The deficit is a problem now, you know, sort of helped along by the recent tax bill. We're going to pass $1 trillion a year in a deficit. This is the sort of thing that makes the situation a lot worse. And so speaking to, you know, former commissioners and that kind of stuff, there's this idea that, you know, it can never happen here. We can never have like a Greece or Italy type situation where suddenly the U.S. is having trouble collecting taxes. But, you know, their message is, yes, it can happen here. You know, we can't take this for granted. The IRS work is important. And slashing their staff is not going to have zero consequence.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what a new Congress does with all of this. ProPublica's Paul Keel co-wrote the series Gutting the IRS with Jesse Eisinger. We'll have a link to all of their articles in the work at hearandnow.org. Fascinating. Paul, thank you.
Thank you.